So we started the din of this. We started the sugya of Shinui Makom by Brachos. There's so much to talk about in the sugya. Let's go through the Gemara and maybe make small ha'aras of at least what topics need to be discussed while we're going through the sugya. We began yesterday with the possibility. I just saw the covered storm in here and the rest of their arm in the same. We started yesterday with the possibility that. That there's a difference between the definition of makom, lagabe kiddush makom suda, versus the definition of makom for shinui makom when it comes to bracha. And we pointed out that that it really depends on your girsa in kaf aleph and aleph, and your girsa in kaf aleph and beis. But if you're going to have such a girsa where they're saying that there's a different halacha, that when it comes to kiddush b'makom suda, going from one room to another room in a house is considered a different makom, whereas by brachos, going from one room to another room in the house is considered the same makom, if one is going to draw that conclusion, so there is a svara for it, there is a logical explanation, and that is that by kiddush b'makom suda, the din is in the makom, it's for krasa l'shabbos oneg, that it's dafka to have it in the same makom, whereas by hilchos brachos, the din has a chadas, it's a din in not being in a different makom, it's not about yes being in that makom, it's about not being in a different makom. So let's see the Gemara Vayter now. So Gemara tells us on Kuf Alvim Beis, Amalei Ravidi Bar Avin, Hachi Tanin Le Masnisa, Debei Rav Hinak, Va'Ami Le Masnisa, Debei Bar Hinak, Kavaseich. That we learn just like this in the Masnisa, either Debei Rav Hinak or Debei Bar Hinak. Now the Rav Huna Masnisa Kamashmon, so what? Rav Huna has to tell me what the Tanaim already taught me? So Rav Huna Masnisa Lo Shmile. It must be that he didn't know the Tanaim taught it to me. So that's why Rav Huna taught us this din, that Shinui Makom Tzorech Levarich is only a din Mi Bayis Le Bayis. But when you go Mi Makom Le Makom, there's no din of Shinui Makom Tzorech Levarich. Period. That's where we got to yesterday. So says the Gemara Navaiter, V'suyas Rav Chisda V'kam Rishmei Nafshei, Rav Chisda now said, and remember the names over here, it's going to be important. Hada Amrit Shinui Makom Tzorech Levarich Lo Amon Ella Bidvarim She'im Tunim Brach L'Achrein B'Mekoma. So when we say that Shinui Makom is Tzorech Levarich, that you need to make a new bracha when you go to a different place, that's only if there's nothing tethering you back to the original place that you started. Meaning, we're talking about you're eating the type of food where you don't need to go back to where you started in order to make the bracha achrona. So when you switch places, you're actually switching places. You actually may never go back to that first place. So therefore, it's all brand new for you. You need to say a new bracha. But if anyway you know you're tethered back to that original place by virtue of the fact that you're eating the kind of food that you need to say a bracha achrona in the place where you ate, so then you're not going to need a new bracha when there's shinui makom. Now keep in mind, shinui makom means two things. It means that when I start eating in the neighbor's house, and then I come back to my house, and I want to continue eating, so that's a shinui makom. It also means that if I start eating in the neighbor's house, and I come to my house for a minute to grab something, and I go back to the neighbor's house, and I want to continue eating where I started, but in the interim, I had moved away, that's also shinui makom. It's all a din of shinui makom. So says the Gemara, so long as, says Rav Chisda, so long as the type of food that you ate would demand that you go back anyway to where you started eating, so you're not going to need to say a new bracha. This whole din of shinui makom tzorech levarich is only if the type of food you eat is not holding you back and connecting you to that original place. My time, we assume you're going back to where your original kaviyos, even when you're away. Rav Sheshes says that no, that echad zev echad zev tzorech levarich. Shinui makom tzorech levarich is a din, regardless of what kind of food you're eating. It's not, doesn't make a difference, even if the kind of food would demand that you come back and make the bracha achron in that spot. It doesn't make a difference, you still have to make the bracha. So the main issue we're going to have to deal with in these few lines is the Gemara, instead of defining foods, spoke about a potential chilik between that which is tu'una bracha l'achrein b'mekoman and that which is not tu'una bracha l'achrein b'mekoman. So the main issue the Rishonim have to deal with is what types of foods are tu'una bracha l'achrein b'mekoman and what types of foods are not tu'una bracha l'achrein b'mekoman. Which type of foods do require bracha l'achrein in the place? What are we talking about over here? Which type of foods have a sense of kviyos? And then once we define that, we're going to have to see how it fits into all the examples that we've used in the rest of the sugya. Keep in mind, how did this whole sugya start of shinui makom, of bracha and shinui, of requiring a new bracha when you're mishana makom? How did the whole sugya start? Kiddush Makom Suda. Started with a discussion making Kiddush and Shul actually, and then you go home and you have to say a new Kiddush again, do you have to say a new Bar Priya Gafen again? What are we talking about? We're talking about Shinui Makom on what? On wine in that case. And somehow that leads us into this entire discussion. So where does that put wine? What would you assume about wine? Is wine something that's ton bracha achreim b'mukomo? Or is it not something that's ton bracha achreim b'mukomo? Does it require bracha achreim in the original place, or does it not? The whole discussion of Shinui Makom Tzarech Levarech was only started with wine. But now Rav Chista is teaching us that Shinui Makom is only Tzarech Levarech if nothing is holding you back. Yeah, but if you're going to have to go back to the Makomo, then there's no din of Shinui Makom Tzarech Levarech. So keep that in mind. What we're going to define as something that's Tzarech Levarech Achrei Makomo is going to be critical in terms of how we understand this as far as its connection to the rest of the Sugya. Yeah?
Is it only the fact that Bracha Achrona makes you go back, or anything that would make you go back? That you forgot something there?
Oh, so that's the next line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, certainly, the Gemara says, let's see, Vaitin. Meisvei, b'nei chabur v'shayim esubin lishtos. If people were sitting around drinking, va'akru raglein latzis likros chasun likros kala, and they got up to go greet a chasun, to go greet a kala. So first of all, what does it mean? They got up to go greet a chasun, greet a kala, and what if they got up to, check the score in the football game? Is it dafka likros chasun likros kala? Meaning, is the Gemara trying to suggest that one is not allowed to get up from a meal after you made a bracha, and thereby cause yourself the potential of having to make a new bracha when it's only for dvar rishus, but for dvar mitzvah, like likros chas and likros kala, you're allowed to take that risk, you're allowed to take that chance that you might have to make a new bracha? Or is it just giving an example, likros chas and likros kala, what else would you be doing? So you go likros chas and likros kala, something we need to think about. But anyway, you're getting up from the meal to go greet, from the drinking, to go greet a chas and a kala. Notice they're drinking. Kashen Yotzin, Ain't on Bracha Mafreya, Kashen Chosrin, Ain't on Bracha Lichachila. You do not need to say a new bracha. Meaning this does not have a din of Shinui Makom Tzarech Levarech. Why? Because Bamedvar Mamurim, Shenichu Sham Zakin Ochola. You left behind a Zakin or a Chola. Meaning there is something tethering you back to the original location. Not the type of food you're eating, that's not what's holding you back. What's holding you back is the people. You left people in that original location. Another matter we're going to have to discuss, why does the Gemara say that you left behind a zakin or a chola? What if you just left behind a regular, healthy, young, able-bodied person? Does it make a difference?
Maybe the potential mitzvah being, maybe the zakin's your father, and the zakin's
an elder. So maybe that by chola you have a special mitzvah taking care of the chola, by zakin mitzvah taking care of him. Or maybe, if we're saying that they got up likros chasa and likros kala, that's why they got up in the first place, well then why in the world didn't everybody get up? It's a mitzvah to go likros chasa and kala. So maybe the only reason why some people wouldn't get up is just practical. Who wouldn't get up likros chasa? But one of these must be dafka then. Either the zakin chola is dafka, or likros chasa and likros kala is dafka. Yeah?
Would it be the same thing, let's say, Sunday, night, Mechamar, to go in the middle of a meal?
Middle of a barbecue or something, and you have to run to Milcha Marev, and the women are staying behind and they're eating still or whatever, they're around the table. Yeah, so we're going to discuss that also. Can you go to have Mincha in the middle? So you go to go Likros Chas and Likros Kala. So that's why you don't need to make a new bracha, because you are being tethered to your original location. Not by the food, but by the people. But if you didn't leave anybody behind, so k'shen yotzin ton and bracha l'mafreya, k'shen chazun ton and bracha l'chadchila. So then you need to say a bracha achrona before you leave, and a new bracha rishona when you come back. So midiktani akru ragleya, and from the fact that it uses an expression that you were oker ragleya and that you picked up your feet, mechlal de bedvar matun and bracha l'achrein v'mkomen askinan. It makes it sound like we're dealing with something that requires a bracha achrein l'mimukomen. Because otherwise you wouldn't use a lashon akiras raglayim. Akiras raglayim makes it sound like you were really kavua there, and now you're getting up and doing something. And still, why is it that you're considered tethered to your location? Not because of the food you ate, but because of who is there. V'tayim ad hinichu sham zakin acholda. Hu d'kshen yotzin ein tonim bracha l'mafreya, k'shen chol zin ein tonim bracha l'chachila. It's only because you left somebody there that you're considered tethered to that location. But if you didn't leave somebody there, even though you were eating, let's say, a full meal with bread and everything, you still need to make a new bracha. So this is a raya to Rav Sheshes against Rav Chista. Remember, Rav Sheshes is the one that said that it doesn't matter what you're eating. You always, whenever you're Mishana Makom, you always need to say a new bracha. That was Rav Sheshes. Rav Chista disagreed. Rav Chista said, no, you only need to say a new bracha if nothing is holding you back to that original, if the type of food that you ate is not holding you back to the original location. But here we see the type of food is a very significant type of food, and still we assume it does not hold you back. We don't consider it to be holding you back to that original location with regard to Shinui Makom and Brachos. Mantana Akiros, Rabbi Yehuda. Now, who's the author of that brisa that holds that even when you eat a serious meal, you're going to need to say a new bracha? That's Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds the Tanya. There's going to be where we're going to get into it. Chaverim were sitting and they were eating, and they got up to go to shul, all the Beis HaMedrash, or to go to the Beis HaMedrash. What difference does it make? Beis Knesses, Beis Medrash. Why should it be different going to learn versus going to shul? So there may be differences.
Learning may not be a set time.
And therefore, worse or better?
Worse.
Right. Learning is worse because, in general, with learning, we always have a concern a person's going to get caught up in their learning and they're going to forget everything. Everything will fall by the wayside. But Beis HaKnesses maybe is a little better in that regard. On the other hand, Beis HaKnesses, you're allowed to eat or not allowed to eat in the Beis HaKnesses? No, we already learned, right? We learned that tells us. You're not allowed to eat in Beis HaKnesses. Beis Medrash? Yes. Beis Medrash, you are allowed to eat. So maybe you could argue that it's a greater Hesach Hadas to go into Beis HaKnesses, because it's more of an Akira from a Suda to go to Beis HaKnesses, but Beis Medrash is less.
You would go from a Suda to Beis Medrash and bring food with him to learn.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you would. I'm saying that it's
because
not considered that you've
can.
Been mafkia yourself.
Because you can.
Right. I'm saying maybe, just as a spark, just some, that maybe it's not considered that you've been mafkia yourself from food as much when you go to Beis Medrash as it is when you go to Beis Knesses. So anyway, so the Brisa says, K'shein yotzin, ein tunim bracha mafreg, k'shein chozrin, ein tunim bracha l'chadchila. You don't need to say a new bracha. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. B'med var mamur mizman sheinich shamik sas chaverim, avalo yinich shamik sas chaverim, k'shein yotzin tunim bracha mafreg, k'shein chozrin tunim bracha l'chadchila. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the only thing that will tether you back to the original location is not the type of food. What will tether you back to the original location? The people that you leave behind. Now, a few things changed over here. First of all, we're no longer going to greet a chasan and kala. Now we're going to a shul or beis medrash. Okay, it's still a dvar mitzvah. Second thing that changes, you are no longer leaving behind a zakin or a chola. What are you leaving behind? Miktsas chaverim, you're leaving behind. But as far as the broad strokes of the sugya, what we essentially have is, everybody agrees that if you're leaving people behind, then it's not called a shinui makom. Then you're not going to have to say new bracha. The machlokas, Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes, is if you don't leave any people behind, but you have a hilchos brachos requirement to bench in that place. So is that enough of a tether to make you not require a new, to exempt you from a new bracha when you come back? That's the machlokas. There's a kasha on Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, because it's already machlokas tanaim. You can't ask any kashas from tanaim on me, because any tana that you're going to throw at me, I'll tell you, that assumes like Rabbi Yehuda. But I hold like the Tana Kama. So it's already machlokas tanaim. Yeah?
We give two examples of things that, one, for sure, if there's chaverim there, that you're allowed to go back, right? And you have to go to shul and come back. And is there chaverim there? And we said that if possibly if you had a brachos thing that you would come back because you have to make your bracha achron. What about anything that falls in that middle category, meaning that they're not a friend, right? Like they're not a friend, meaning that there's nobody there.
Yeah,
but there's
no
still
people.
Something else bringing you back besides Hillel's brachos. Let's say,
like what?
For example, Sunday, you had your Sunday barbecue, right? And you just made this beautiful $40 steak. You bought it and you made a $40 steak.
Made
a mincha, and it's there. It's hot, right? And you're pulled to come back on right after because you had a hot steak waiting.
So like with many of these types of sugars, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to be magdir. We're going to have to say, what is the geder of pulling you back to that location? What are they really arguing about? First, we need to figure out what are they really arguing about. Why would it be that people would be something that pulls you back, that makes it that you were never oker your makom, that stays your makom, but food would not make it still your makom? Why people more than food? What's the gather of this din? And then we could start applying it to other things that might hold you back, that might make you want to come back. So that's how we're going to have to attack it. So it's a very fair question that you're asking. But in order to answer it, we first need to be magdir. What's the difference between people and food? And then once we're magdir, the difference between people and food, we could discuss why it is that food, according to some opinions, does hold you back. According to other opinions, doesn't hold you back. Or why it is that certain foods can hold you back and other foods can't, according to one opinion. And according to the other opinion, no food can ever hold you back. And then we could start applying it to other examples. So it says about El Time of the Bidvarim Atun and Brachal Achrein and Mekaman, the Kshin Yalsin and Brachal Mafreg, Shinchos, and Brachal Echadchila. So it's only because we're dealing with eating foods that you need to come back for. That's why you don't need to make a new bracha. Aval Dvarim Shain Tun and Brachal Achrein and Mekaman. But when you're dealing with foods that you don't need to come back for, meaning everybody agrees that there is some concept called shinui makom, that at some point, if there's nothing that's holding you back, then when you switch locations you need to say a new bracha. Everyone seems to agree about that. The only question is what is considered enough to hold you back to that original location. But everyone agrees that if there's nothing that holds you back to the original location, well then it's certainly considered a shinui makom. That we all agree. So says Mar Lema Tavit Yoftet Rabbi Yochanan. We almost all agree, but remember Rabbi Yochanan is one that said that if you made Kiddush and Shul, and then you go home, you don't need to say a new part of Priya Gafet on the wine. But it's not holding you back, there's nothing holding you back, so shouldn't you have to say a new bar priagaf and another wine? Isn't that a classic shinui makom? So this whole discussion from all the different shitos is against Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara points out. So says the Gemara, not necessarily. First of all, the Gemara says, why do you have to beat a dead horse? We didn't have enough of a tiyufta and Rabbi Yochanan. Not only did we have a tiyufta and Rabbi Yochanan, we had tiyufta and Rabbi Yochanan tiyufta. We had the strongest form of tiyufta and Rabbi Yochanan. So we have to beat him up for it. So neima mehanami tavi tiyufta. Yeah, inochinami, we know that we've already rejected Rabbi Yochanan, but we just want you to know that this also would be another raya against Rabbi Yochanan. So says Gemara, no, this would not be another raya against Rabbi Yochanan. Because amalach Rabbi Yochanan, hu adin dafil dvarm shein tunim bracha achreim b'mekom anami, ein tzrichen levarich. Maybe, even if you're having regular, you're having jelly beans, maybe even then you don't need to make a new bracha when you switch places. Something that's very arai, not kavu at all, not holding you back. Why then does it give an example of akwa raglehen, that you're having a serious su'uda, and that's why you don't have to say a new bracha? Vadiktani akwa raglehen is lo diacha kochod Rabbi Yehuda. The reason we picked an example of a serious Yehuda is to show you how serious Rabbi Yehuda was about his point of view. That even if you're eating serious food, it's only gonna get you out of shinui makom if you leave people behind. But serious food alone is not enough to hold you back to that original makom. That's why we spoke about serious food, to let you know just how strict Rabbi Yehuda is, that you're going to need to make a new bracha even when you were eating, what, for lack of a better term, what we'll call very serious food. Tanya kavasei d'Rav Chista, but then we have a brisa like Rav Chista. Chaverim shei mesubin lishlos yayin v'akol gein v'chazru ein srich nevarech. That Rav Chista again is the one that says that if you're eating serious food, you don't need to make a bracha. So people are having wine. And then, right, that was the Tani Kavasa. Yeah, they were Mesubin Lishlos Yayin, they were having wine, and then they were Oker Raglav, and they come back, they don't need to say a new bracha, because they were still connected to that original location by the wine that was there. Good? So that's the end of the Sugya, essentially. That's all the Gemara here. Now, the last couple of topics that we're going to need to figure out is, first of all, whenever you have Lodi'acha Kocho, that the machlokas could have been described in terms of case A or in terms of case B. Over here we have machlokas in the braisa between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda about a guy who goes to the Beis Medrash. Does he need to say a new bracha when he comes home, even if there are no chaverim? Does he need to say a new bracha when he comes home? The Tanakhama says that he does not. Rabbi Yehuda says he only will get out of it. He only does not if he leaves chaverim behind. So in a case where there are no chaverim, Tanakhama says you don't need to say a new bracha. Rabbi Yehuda says you do need to say a new bracha. So the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yochanan would touch up that machlokas both in a case where you were eating serious food and in a case where you were eating less serious food. In either case, the machlokas Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, just make sure you get this point here. I'll take a question in a second. Make sure you get this point. The machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you need to say a new bracha when you come back, says Rabbi Yochanan, would apply whether they were eating serious food or not serious food. In both of those cases, whether you were eating a pastrami sandwich or whether you were eating jelly beans, in either situation, the Tanakhama would say you do not need to say a new bracha, and Rabbi Yehuda would say that you do need to say a new bracha. That's how Rabbi Yochanan understands that machlokas. So why was the machlokas phrased in a case of akru raglayem, where they were eating serious food, if that same machlokas applies when it's lo akru raglayem? So what did the Gemara say? To let you know how strongly Rabbi Yehuda holds his point of view, that even when you're having a very serious meal, it's still not enough to tether you back to that original location. It's still not enough to hold you back to that original location and to get you out of saying a new bracha. Whenever we have that, lahudiacha kocho, so that means that there are two options of ways we could have framed this machlokas. We could frame it in case A or in case B. The machlokas is the same in both cases. We choose to frame it in case A, lahudiacha kocho, to let you know how serious, how strongly one opinion holds his shita. You always have to ask yourself, why don't we frame it then as case B to let me know how strongly the other opinion holds his shita? Meaning the Rabbanan over here in this braisa say, you don't need to say a new bracha. Wouldn't that be a gevaldik achiddush that you don't need to say a new bracha if it were talking about jelly beans? That you ate a couple of jelly beans at home and then you went somewhere else and you came back. That even though it was just jelly beans, the Rabbanan would say you don't need to say a new bracha. Even though it's just kiddush wine, whatever, the Rabbanan would say you don't need to say a new bracha. Why don't we do it lo diacha kocho de Rabbanan? So that's going to be and I'm not just asking, well, if you would have said it that way, I'd ask why not this way. No, there is a concept in Shas called koch de tera adiv. What's koch de tera adiv? So it's used in common expression as, you know, it takes a lot more for a person to be mekel than it takes for a person to be machmir. That anyone could always be machmir. That's really how the Rishonim explain the svara of koch teiradif. But koch teiradif, what it means in the way it's used in the Gemara is we'd always like to express the chiddush of the one who's matir more than the chiddush of the one who's machmir. We always want to express the chiddush of the person who's mekel. Because it's always a great, by definition, it's a greater chiddush to be mekel than it is to be machmir. Because if you're ever mesupak about what to do, it's always easy. You could always be machmir. Anyone could be machmir. It doesn't take a chacham. The Gemara in Ksuvus has an expression: mi ika hora'a le'iser. Would you ever call it a hora'a when something is aser? Aser is aser. It's not a hora'a. Hora'a is to say that something is mutter. Anyone could say that something is aser. There's no kunst to say that something is aser. So that so this question is even stronger now, because Machlokas Tanakhama Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakhama says, nah, you don't need to make a new bracha. Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, you do. So who's machmir? Rabbi Yehuda's machmir. He's the one that says, you do need to say a new bracha. So who's the one that who's the opinion that you'd want to emphasize? The koch teiteru, the Rabbanan. So it's backwards. We're emphasizing the wrong one. So that's another issue we're going to have to discuss as we travel our way through the sugya. And then a final issue we're going to have to discuss is the whole sugya was about this machlokas between Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes. When you're eating foods that are tuna bracha, does that get you out of the problem of shinui makom? Rav Chista says, yes, that's an out from the problem of Shina Makom. Rav Sheshet says, no. How do we paskin? Is there any indication in this Gemara how we should paskin? Well, the Gemara concludes with a Tanya Kavase de Rav Chista. It concludes with a brisa that goes like Rav Chista, but remembered, we had a brisa that went against Rav Chista. We had a kasha l'Rav Chista on the bottom of Kaval v'Mbeis. And what did we say about that kasha l'Rav Chista? The Rav Chista says, yeah, shkayach, it's machlokas tanaim. So it doesn't bother me that there are brises against me. Just like it doesn't bother us that there are brises against him, it shouldn't bother us that there are brises for him either. It's a machlokas tanaim, it's an old machlokas. So good, so how do we paskin then? Are there any klali apsak that we could follow over here in terms of how to paskin this machlokas? So that's a basic overview of the various issues we're going to have to discuss. But first and foremost, I think, what we need to discuss is what is the definition of something that's tu'na bracha achrein b'mekomen? Yeah.
In the case of leaving chaverim at home, let's say going to shul in the middle of a meal, would it be better to just daven, let's say it's mincha, would it be better to daven just mincha and then save mar for later? Or
so let's wait till we get to that part. That's issue number, I don't know, I've lost track, but did anyone write down? No one wrote down. What are the different issues that we have to discuss? But that's on the topic of Beis Hamelach, we're going to get to that issue. Let's chazer over, what are the issues, so we could be Masudar over here and remember what to do. I'll write them down also now as we go. So first, yeah, you can write them down. Okay, so first is, what's the definition of something that's tuna bracha achrein b'mekomen? That's the first one. Second, the specific examples that are given, whether it be likros chasen likros kala, whether it be zakein uchala, is there any meaning to those specific examples? Third, davening in middle of a meal. What's the halacha in terms of akiras makom, davening in middle of a meal, and is that any different than a beis medrash? Fourth, koch teterad. Why is it lodiacha koch Rabbi Yehuda? If anything, we should be lodiacha koch Rabbanan. Whatever happened to koch teterad? And we're going to have to discuss that concept broadly of what koch teterad means. And fifth, how do we paskin?
Why are we so focused on the word akuragalaya and not lishtos? Because it sounds like from the word lishtos, especially in the original one, that they were lishtos, right? They were drinking, not be drinking.
What does that tell you?
That it was that. Well, it doesn't tell me anything, because I'm saying.
So that's why we focus on Okuraglan, because it does tell me something.
I guess lishtos can't tell you that they were. That we drink, so it's less kovea than when you are when you.
So you're saying lishtos implies that they were not kovea.
Right.
Okuraglan implies that they were kovea. Good. We're going to have to figure out where does Yayin fit. Is Yayin something that is Ton Bracha Achrein B'Mekomen or not Ton Bracha Achrein B'Mekomen?
Why is it Yayin?
We assume whenever people are Kovei Lishtos, it's always Yayin. You don't sit down to have apple juice.
I don't know what the Rashbam is saying. You're saying it says Rashbam, the bottom of Kofal from the base, it says Hayim Sudum Lishtos Upper Glaim. He's a Christian. He never looks at Yayin.
Yeah, so let's see why he says that. It's very important. Good. So let's see what are we talking about? Let's define these terms over here. Let's start with the beginning. We're going to define the term, what it means. Dvarim she'in tun bracha achrein b'mekomen and dvarim atun bracha achrein b'mekomen. If you look at the, let's say, Rashi first. So Rashi in the top. Dvarim she'in tun bracha achrein. What's the girsa? B'mekomen. Kigon. What doesn't require bracha achrein b'mekomen? Mayim operos. What's the bracha achron on mayim operos? Or nefashos. She'en tun bracha chashuva b'fnei atzman. They don't really get their own real bracha chashuva. Parentheses. Kigon shivas haminim. Why is that parentheses important? And why might you take it out? What was Rashi's example of things that don't require bracha achron b'mekomen? Mayim or peros. Some of the shivas haminim are peros. So is Rashi saying mayim or like apples and oranges? But shivas haminim is different. It's more chashuv. Or is he saying no? All peros are peros, and therefore none of them require bracha achrein b'mekomen. Devadai kivan da amad v'halach l'makom acher amidasa zuhi gemar su daso. If one gets up and goes somewhere else, getting up is his completion of that meal, and therefore when you eat somewhere else, or even if you come back and eat in that same place, it is now a new su'uda, and therefore you need a new bracha. Aval dvarim atun bracha lachemim kamen kolomar bracha chashuv b'fnei atzman kigon shivas aminim. So it's explicit in Rashi that shivas aminim is going to be considered something that does require bracha chronimim kamen. What are the shivas aminim? What do they include? What? They gefen. That's what I'm looking for, right? Gefen. Yeah, you can name all of them, but gefen is the one that I'm looking for. Why am I looking for gefen? Because yayin. So Rashi seems to be saying. Pasha's not. It's dafka yayin.
Well, gefen is great.
What?
The word gefen.
Right, but the bracha chronim b'mekoma is dafka by yayin. So let's just leave it as yayin. So says Rashi, wine would be something that's tuna bracha chronim b'mekoma. That's chashuv. You assume that you were going on the kvius of the original thing that you al das kvius harishon halach levarich achrei bracha achas al shtehen. So you don't need to make a separate bracha achrona nor a separate bracha rishona. We assume you're going back to the original kvius. Says the Rashbam. Third wide line. B'dvarim shein tun bracha achreim imkoman. Kigon. Mayim operos. Shein tun bracha chashuv b'fnei atzmem ele boring nefashos rabos. They don't require a real bracha chashuva. All they require is boring nefashos rabos. Add that to the list. What's the status of boring nefashos? Why is boring nefashos a second class bracha? Is it in some way less of a bracha than other brachos? Meaning, is this just a reflection of the food? I would have said... I would have said it's a reflection of the food. You know, when we're talking about bracha tuna, things that require bracha bim kamen or not. The food's not so chashuv, so therefore it's not a kavius. But sounds like, no, it's not that the food's not so chashuv, it's that the bracha is not a chashuv, a bracha. There's some chashivas missing from bari nefashos. So what is that? What is that about bari nefashos? Yes?
When the bracha wasn't existed, because the gemara came later.
Bar Nefashos?
I think,
I think it appears in Shas.
It wasn't like a bracha, but
the Gemara in Brachos talks about it as a bracha rishona. I think the Gemara even mentions it, using it as a bracha rishona.
There were foods that there was a bracha
rishona. So we're going to have to discuss that. Exactly. What's the status of Bar Nefashos? Is Bar Nefashos a chiyuv? Is it, at what point did it become a chiyuv? Yeah. So with this, we're going to have to talk about it. Good. That's exactly the point. Hilkach ain't sarik levarich b'makom nacharei and devadek even damen v'halach b'makom achar midaso zui gemar sudaso. Since you leave, we assume you're done. V'achsudachriti v'sarik levarich b'tchil, and therefore you're moving on to a new meal. Aval dvar matun brach lacharei b'makomon, but those things that are more kavua that you need a brach lacharei b'makomon kilomar bracha chashuva b'fnei atzmon tzrichin b'makomon kigon shiva saminim disbu bracha achas mein shalosh. Like Shiva Saminim, where you don't have a little bori nefashos, you have a real bracha. You have bracha achas bein shalosh. Howil v'lo birech achrein v'halach makom achar lisod al das kvius harishon halach levarich bracha achas al shtehen. We assume that you're still connected to your original meal. Ulefneinami ein sarach lachso levarich. So it's going to be one bracha achrona, one bracha rishon. Mehacha shamina. So says Rashbam. A little editorial over here, says Rashbam. From here we see, Tahaditznan, if you're wondering about the Mishnah and Brachos Tafnan Alpha Mibes, Misha Achal Vishachach Velo Birech, if someone ate and forgot and didn't bench, and now he's far away, Veshamir Mechule, Veshamina Mina, so Veshami doesn't say Mechule, what does Veshami say? What does the Mishnah actually say over there in Mesechus Brachos? So the Mishnah Mesechus Brachos says, Beishamai says, Yachzor l'mekomo v'yivarech, go back, and Beisil says, Yivarech b'makom shenizkar, that you just make the bracha where you are. The Gemara in Gimel Amibez over there says that that's dafka if you forgot b'shogeg. But if you b'mezid didn't make the bracha, then even Beisil would say, you got to get back there. So says the Rashbam, Shamina mina de l'chadchila tzarech l'varech b'makomo. Certainly l'chadchila, you should make the bracha on the spot. B'shivas, so says Rosh Bam, you're going to be bothered by that you always have to go back. B'shivas amin in Ma'iri, Dika kein b'chsamaz and bracha arichta v'chashivus amin shalosh. That's talking about shivas aminim. That's something that requires a bracha achronah b'mukamah. So for benching, for bracha achas amin shalosh, that's when you need to go back. Note that the Rosh Bam and Rashi didn't talk about cookies, pretzels, any possible b'kistin. They gave examples of Mayim and Peros on the one side and Hamotzi and Shivas Aminim on the other side. So Shivas Aminim is wheat. It counts possibly because what about other Mizonos foods? What about rice?
It's like in the middle.
If it's a din that's Tali in the Bracha Rishona, then you say rice has a Chashivus. If it's totally in the Bracha Achrona, which is what it sounds like from the Rosh Bam and Rashi, that it's all din in Bracha Achrona, said it would not have any chashivas. So we're focused on Bracha Achrona. For some reason, the Bracha Rishona is not what bothers us, it's the Bracha Achrona that really matters. What's the problem with Rosh Bam's approach? Rosh Bam is very quick to say that Yayin is something that is a matter of kvius, and it's tu'una bracha achrayan b'mikoma. It requires a bracha achrayan b'mikoma. How did the whole sugya start? Remember that Rav Chista's shita is that this whole din of shinui makom doesn't apply to things that are tu'una bracha achrayan b'mikoma, to chashva things, like, as the Rashbam is telling us now, like wine. The whole thing doesn't apply to wine. This whole discussion doesn't apply to wine. The whole discussion of shinui makom doesn't apply to wine. How did the discussion start? Wine. We spoke about making kiddush and shul, and then going to going home, where Rav and Shmuel said there's a din of shinui makom. Rabbi Yochanan, the wild card, it was tiyufta to Rabbi Yochanan tiyufta, says no, there's no such din of shinui makom. But that whole din of shinui makom, according to Rav Chista, won't apply to wine anyway. Rabbi Yochanan's not such a wild card after all. When he says there's no din of shinui makom by wine, maybe it's just because it's wine that there's no din of shinui makom. But if it were jelly beans, there would be a din of shinui makom. Very shver, no? So says Tosos several kashas on the Rosh Bam. So first he quotes the Rosh Bam. Three kashas, I believe. So says Tosos v'haditna in second skinny line. Meaning the girsa that you were asking about before, the reason he took out yayin was because the Gemara would not have had to be medayek. Oh, it says Oker Raglov, so it must be that you're dealing with something chashuv. If it said Yayin, you know how we know you're dealing with something chashuv? Because it says Yayin. So from the fact that the Gemara has to make a diuk, oh, it says that they were Oker Raglayim, they must have been eating something and drinking something chashuv, so that implies that we had no other way of knowing that they were drinking Yayin. That's why we changed the girsa. Not because it's inaccurate, it is definitely accurate that it's Yayin. The Gemara makes a point to say that we're dealing with the reason it changes the girsa is because the Gemara only knew that it was talking about Yayin because it used the term of Akiris Raglayin. Had it not used that term of Akiris Raglayin, it sounds like we wouldn't have known that it's talking about Yayin. That's why we take away the girsa of Yayin. No, that's why we don't have the girsa of Yayin. That's what we're saying. If you had the girsa of Yayin, the whole Gemara doesn't make sense. If the word Yayin appears there, what do you have to make a diuk? Oh, it says Oker Raglov, so it must be they were drinking Yayin. No, it says Yayin, that's how you know they're drinking Yayin. Not because it says Oker Raglov. That's why he changes the girsa, not because the halacha changes. It's dafka because he holds that this is the halacha. The Rashbam holds Yayin is considered something that's a davar chashuv, it's tuna bracha achrein b'mkoman, anything that's bracha achas main shalosh, tuna bracha achrein b'mkoman, frekt, tosfos, three kashas. Miyukasha, keep losing the place for some reason. Miyukasha, do you have a yayin bechal dvar matunu brach lachrein mumkaman? If wine is on matunu brach lachrein mumkaman, imkena mayitos of Rabbi Yochanan la'el. Rabbi Yochanan ari biyayin. then how could we have disproven Rabbi Yochanan by saying, oh, look, Rabbi Yochanan, there is such a din of Shinui Makom by Brachos? Yeah, Rabbi Yochanan just said there's no din of Shinui Makom by Yayin. And according to Rav Chisda, everyone agrees to that, that there's no din of Shinui Makom by Yayin. Who said Rabbi Yochanan there's no din of Shinui Makom at all? He just said it by Yayin. So how could we have a tiyufta on Rabbi Yochanan? Because look, there's a din of Shinui Makom by Brachos. Of course there's a din of Shinui Makom by Brachos. It's not by Yayin, by jelly beans there is. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan saying, "Afi de yain yatsu." It was by yain. Vaz Rabbi Yochanan tamei. Damar shinu makom ein tzarach levaris. That's where we say shinu makom ein tzarach levaris. Ubraisa I read the dvarim shein to the bracha lachreim b'makoma. When the braisa says that you do need to make a new bracha on shinu makom, that braisa was talking about the braisa on top of kufal v'mbeis. That was talking about jelly beans. So how could we have a tiyufta on Rabbi Yochanan if Yayin is in the category of Dvarim Atun and Bracha Lachreim B'Makoma? Kasha number two. With each of these kashas, you've got to figure out how the Rashbam is going to answer. How does and this one's a very strong one. How does Rashbam read the Gemara? Va'od di'im kein palig Rav Chisda Arav u'Shmuel. It would also turn out that Rav Chisda is arguing on Rav and Shmuel. Because what does Rav Chisda say? That when it comes to Yayin, and you move from one house to another, you never have to say a new bracha, Rav Chisda says. What did Rav and Shmuel say? He said Kiddush and Shul. You go home. What did Rav and Shmuel both say? You do have to say a new bracha. So it turns out that Rav Chisda is not arguing on Rav Yochanan. He's arguing not only on Rav Sheshes, he's arguing on Rav and Shmuel. The whole yisod that we built the entire sugya on is crumbling. Rav Chisda is against everything. From Argamar, it sounds like it's Rav Chisda versus Rav Sheshes, not Rav Chisda versus the world. Old Kasha, third Kasha. Not from our sugya. The Kasha seem to be in order of how strong they are. The first Kasha is the strongest because the whole Gemara doesn't read straight. Second Kasha is, it's not the impression you get from our Gemara. But the Gemara could read straight, it's just not the impression that you get that Rav Chisda is taking on Rav and Shmuel. Third Kasha is not a problem in our Gemara, but a problem based on another Maramaka. In Yerushalmi. Hayochel b'mizrach shalteinu, ubalo b'marava, sarich levarech. What's the te'ina? Is one of the Zayin Minim? Yeah. And sarich levarech, when you're Mashana Mako. Alma b'zayin minim namishinu makom sarich levarech. Sounds like you do have to make a new bracha by Zayin Minim. Okay, so that you could just say maybe it's going like Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes holds that you're always going to have to make a new bracha. No, but ein halacha kamoso. We don't pass like Rav Sheshes. The way we should keep notes on this is we have our list of six things we want to discuss. There might be some overlap. Here we just found the Maramako to deal with issue number five, it was, I think. How do you pass it? He says, no, we don't pass like Rav Sheshes. Of course we pass like Rav Chisda, not like Rav Sheshes. So that Yerushalmi is not going to be going like Rav Sheshes. So how are you going to explain that? How's Yerushalmi going to explain that Yerushalmi if you assume that Yerushalmi has to be going like Rabbi Yochanan? All right, we'll stop here, and Bez Hashem, we'll start getting to how the Rosh Hashanah is going to answer all that tells us tomorrow.